Austin Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, welcoming you to the end of an era, the last call of 2017. It will officially be, this is the All She Wrote call. It's slim mounted up and none wrote out. So this is the end of the era, the last call of the year of our Lord, 2017, and what a fabulous year it has been for many of you on tonight's call. Some of you had the opportunity to coach for the first time in my career. Many of you are repeat clients, friends, and I want to thank all of you for what a year I have had with you. 2018 will unequivocally be the year of prosperity for all of us. I'm going to be bringing that Prosperity Roadshow on the road, the Prosperity Reciprocity Show. So I have some acts of showmanship I'm going to be adding to my events that are going to be really fun. They're going to add some really fun situations, especially if you're sitting in the front row. So I'll be sharing a little bit more about that later in the call. And I want to once again thank everyone who's on the call. First-time callers, welcome. This call is every Tuesday night, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, is recorded on Podomatic. The following day, there's a record of all my archive calls going back for many, many, many years. I have many of my early dates already booked for 2018. On this Saturday, I will be in beautiful Marina Del Rey with many of my California friends. I cannot wait to connect with many of you this weekend. And I'll be in California many times with Brittany Cara, Marisa, and Doug Campbell. And it's going to be a fabulous year that I'm going to have in my own home state. I'm really looking forward to that. I'll be in the East Coast many, many times. This Saturday, I'll be in Marina Del Rey with Brittany Cara, January 6th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with my four-year friend and client, Lisa Pazanza, who absolutely had a breakthrough financial year this year. Congratulations. January 13th, I'll be in Dallas, Texas, and I will be reconnecting in Dallas many times. January 20th, with my exceptional friend and client, Bridget Bartley. Jennifer Trinkner will also be attending that event. Bridget has been my client going back. Bridget first met me in 2011. Bridget introduced me to Chelsea Kellis, who then introduced me to Jennifer Corliss Trinkner. All three of those women hired me in their career. January 27th, I will be in San Mateo, California. That is in my backyard. That's incidentally where Tom Brady is from, right there across the San Mateo Bridge. February 3rd, I will be booking Chicago, Illinois. I do not have the hotel booked yet. Alec is working on that. February 10th, beautiful Orange County, California, in Irvine, California. Marisa and Doug Campbell, first-class human beings, longtime clients. Marisa and her mother Maria have been my clients for many years. Doug joined me this year. February 24th, Orlando, Florida. Colleen Olitsky has been a rock star client and friend of mine for over 3 years, and her superstar mom, who you're going to hear interviewed on this call, Susan Dampier. Susan is the mother of five children, number six on the way, works in a bank full-time as a first-class husband, Sean, and had a five-figure month in October. That's my kind of woman. March 3rd, Saddlebrook, New Jersey, with Diane Hughes Hunt. Exceptional Diane. What a breakthrough year Diane had this year. Diane will be hosting many of my events on the East Coast. March 10th, I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland. March 24th, Joe DiBianco will be hosting Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Abby O'Neill will be hosting me in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, right outside of Boston, another beautiful city, beautiful little town. It's like, oh my God, it's like the Revolutionary War. And then April 7th, 14th, and 21st, I don't have the date, I don't have the exact cities, but it's going to be not necessarily in this order. But April 7th, 14th, and 21st, it will be Rye, New York, Kansas City, Missouri. And I spoke to Ricky Tischler, another one of my long-term clients, who I'll be hosting in St. Louis, Missouri. Joe DiBianca, you must go to that event with me so you can see Charlie Gito's and Tony's back-to-back. That is like murder's row of Italian restaurants. And for those who've never been to St. Louis, there's this fabulous place called The Hill, Italian Hill. It is a one-of-a-kind, unique kind of place. And any of you that join me, any of my long-term clients that join me in cities that you've never been to, you have a standing invitation to dine with me at any of these cities. Now, I'm going to bring a little showmanship to the road. Back in 1979, I learned how to cut off the necks of champagne bottles. I witnessed it. I never really, I mean, I can conceptualize it, but I never started practicing it till this year. I'm going to be bringing bottles of Dom Perignon, Moët Chandon, Perrier Jouet, and if you're in the front row, you're going to be bestowed some of the brilliance of watching that experiment, because it is a physical situation. It is an amazing presentation when you can cut the neck off champagne bottles, and I'll be teaching some of you how to do that too to add your showmanship. The video I did yesterday already received over 3,000 views, multiple shares, in the hundreds of comments. And once again, that's the value of an idea. I conceptualized that, did it on a Facebook Live, and attracted a lot of views. And that's really what you want to be able to do, is be able to create that interest. That's creativity, innovation, being able to bring an idea to the show. Now, today is also a very, very special day for me in my history. A couple reasons. On this day, 2011, I started coaching C.G. Siddons. C.G. went on to become a multiple six- and seven-figure income earner while I was coaching her, and then went on to be one of the top income earners in her company, one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of collaborating to. So congratulations, C.G. C.G. is a... just a first-class young woman, a leader, and just an absolute privilege to be able to say I coached her, her sister, and her brother. What a great trifecta of first-class people, Jamie and Todd. And that all started on December 26, 2011. It was also around that date that I started coaching Tara Romano. So this is a very significant date in my coaching career, but in my own personal career. On December 26, 1997, I was $100,000 in credit card debt. I borrowed $5,000 from my father. I had nowhere to go for Christmas. I had gone down to West Los Angeles, right at the cross street of Olympic and Beverly Glen. Many of you will know that is if you live in Los Angeles. That's a Century City address, about 2 miles from downtown Beverly Hills. There used to be a Fry's grocery store and an AM/PM mini mart right across the street. In the AM/PM mini mart, I went in and bought a USA Today. Now, back in the day, back in that era, in the USA Today, network marketers would advertise business opportunities in the Friday section of the USA Today. Oftentimes, there would be 50 to 100 opportunities, 2 pages worth of opportunities, and I would routinely scan them with what I would feel a good opportunity, and I would call some of those opportunities. I called 11 ads that day, December 26, 1996. Only 2 people called me back. One of them was a gentleman named T.C. Bradley in Alsip, Illinois. T.C. wrote a post about this on my Facebook page today about this very date. T.C. absolutely hit the jackpot. Even though I was financially upside down, I was ready. I put my anger behind me. I turned my anger into passion in 1997 and had a $460,000 year. Now, I had no downline left from multiple business ventures that I did not succeed in. I had no friends left and no funds left. I had never been I'd been without money before, but I'd never been without credit. So when I entered the year 1997, I had no money in my bank account, and I had about $4,000 worth of credit left. I started a business. And within that calendar year, I was able to pay off my debt in 11 months, 17 days. I never had liability debt like that ever again, and they showed up. Now, this call is dedicated to that, the they showed up portion of your life. So what happened to me could unequivocally happen to you, because it did happen to me. I not only have seen other people do it, but I did it myself. I witnessed it. Now, today's call is telling your story, changing your story, and living your story. Now, prior to December 1996, I had 9 years of sobriety under my belt. I was definitely in the program of recovery, but I was not reaching the financial success that I was seeking, and that was a part of my story. My story at that point was, this always happens to me. I reach the top of a company, and the bottom falls out. So I would find myself starting over again, which was also a way of life for me. I didn't really realize it then, but as I reflect now, and as I reflected a few years ago, that seemed to happen to me. I would get to the top, and right as I'd get to the top, something would happen to me. I played on top-tier sports teams as a sophomore in varsity sports. However, our talent pool ran out in my high school. We had six superstar seniors when I was a sophomore. They graduated. Some of them went off to play Division II and III schools. Some of them were exceptional athletes. But the talent pool ran out in my high school, and myself and a couple other people could not fill the shoes of those six superstars. I was a very good athlete, but not quite good enough to ever be a Division I player or professional athlete. But I was good enough to play high school and junior college basketball, but I wasn't good enough to carry a team. And so the bottom would seem to fall out on me. Just when I got to be a junior in high school, the talent graduated, and I didn't get to be a part of those teams. Even I was a reserve, but I was never good enough to really start. And in my junior and senior year, the talent ran out. Well, that also seemed to happen to me throughout my 20s. Right as I'd seem to get to the top of something, the bottom would fall out. I'd get a great waiter's job, and I'd sabotage it by one of my addictions, and I wouldn't make it into work because I'd be tweaked looking out the window. And for those of you who understand what that means, I'm sure you can relate, and I'd have to call in. I'd call in, and I'd lie about my situation, and I'd end up getting fired, replaced, or any multitude of situations. I once confronted a client because he didn't tip me on a bottle of Louis XIII, and it pissed me off because I decanted three bottles. The tab was about $600. He left me $40. I lost my composure and got fired. That seemed to happen to me frequently because in that part of my story, I had hostile young man syndrome, HSS, HYMS, hostile young man syndrome. I would tend to sabotage myself frequently. I couldn't compose my anger. It was very, very overt. It wasn't repressed. It was out in the open. I would get in fights. I'd get into trouble. I would steal things. I'd break things. I'd do all kinds of transgressions to consistently hit rock bottom. That was my story. Game changed for me because I hit one rock bottom too many. The pain was great enough. I got clean and sober. On December 17th, 1987, my life changed. However, because of all the angst, anger, repressed rage, unresolved issues that I held on to as an addict, well, as I took that into business, I immediately went back into business for myself. I wasn't prepared to succeed. I had all this juice. I had the edge. I had the swag. But I didn't have the composure. It took me about 10 years to really start to put myself in a position that I could succeed, not only succeed, but I was able to maintain it. I could attain it, but couldn't maintain it. I could attain it, couldn't maintain it. It was the top-bottom syndrome. It was the black-and-white world that I'd learned to live in growing up in my own childhood. I did not understand that there was a shade of color called gray. And as I learned to live between the lines, so I wouldn't be at the top or the bottom, as I learned neuroscience and started to let go from a different perspective than I'd ever understood, my game began to change, and most importantly, who I attracted changed. So my story began to change. I used to say things like, I'm going to succeed if it kills me. It almost did. I remember once lancing my arm just to take the pain off to see if I can bleed. I did what every addict did. I had butterfly bandages, taped myself out, and went out and partied that night. An addict always wants a little more. When you become addicted to being addicted, you are an addict. Not only are you an addict, you're a chronic addict. And you want to be able to take the word addict and have a better understanding of it. When you're addicted to a set of emotions that drives your anxiety, then you're addicted to a set of feelings that keep you doing the same thing over and over. And the main feelings that would drive me would be anger and shame. My anger would drive me, and then the things I would do, the transgressions, and I'd feel shame about the after effects of it. I would feel shame for the arrest I went through, for the problems I caused, for the pathological lying. I was a serial cheater. A whole multitude of situations that became my story. I didn't believe I could ever get sober. That was a big part of my story. When I eventually did reach that place where I was able to maintain sobriety, now I had to master my emotions to be able to maintain success. My story had always been I could get it, but I couldn't keep it. I didn't understand that success was something to be. I thought it was something you kept. It was like a shiny object, like a woman, like a nice car. I mean, I was in it for the fluff and the stuff, never for the substance. I was a very shallow human being, and it took me several years to be able to cross the bridge to where I had substance. Someone wrote a post on Facebook today, and when I told my story, she said she saw me speak in 2002 and 2003, and I still had some of that leftover angst. Even though I had some swag, I had a lot of unresolved anger. Over the last 14, going on 15 years, I've started to understand the word peace. That became a big part of my story. I was able to have success, and once again, keep it. I didn't understand that it wasn't about keeping it. It was about the person you become. I thought success was something you held on to, and that if I had enough success, maybe it would give me self-esteem. I found out that it's self-esteem that was asked backward. I realized that I required self-esteem to be able to maintain success. Success is a state of being. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. It's a mindset. It's a habit. It's a result. It's the person you can become. If you can go to bed tonight without criticizing yourself between now and the time you go to bed, that is success. If you have self-esteem between now and the time you go to bed, that is success. Self-esteem is how you feel about self. Confidence in being competent is how you feel about something. You can be confident in a job, but that doesn't mean you have self-esteem. You can own a business, but if the business goes away and you go with it, then you don't have any self-esteem. That means that your identity was based on being successful. You want to have an identity that's based on being you. Success is to be pursued. Success is to be attained. Success is a be state, but the person that you are, that's your self-esteem. As you start to live in that story, then what you can accomplish, you have no idea what you can accomplish. Because the world is your oyster. You can absolutely accomplish anything that you believe. What the mind of man can believe, you can achieve. That's the old W. Clement Stone from the book that he did with the great Napoleon Hill back in 1951. But if you hold on to an identity from the past, and your communication style says, I'm always worried, I'm worried all the time, I'm always overwhelmed, I'm always late. Because you can also have an identity where I always get the parking spot, I always attract great people, great things always happen to me. That's a different type of identity, and that's a completely different story. Many people are addicted to their story. They're addicted to their emotions based on past events that they repress. They hold on to these feelings, and then their communication style dictates the outcome. This always happens to me. Yeah, but. I've asked many of my clients to do their best to go a whole hour without yeah butting me. What many people do is ask a question. They ask someone of influence or affluence a question. While they're waiting for the answer to be delivered, they interrupt the person answering their question because they're already in their next thought. Now, if you're not able to be present, be here, and be now, then that will show up frequently in your communication style, yeah, but. That's your story. That means no matter what content you receive isn't good enough because you're always, that's the story, always overwhelmed. So you want to be able to do this at some point. Let go of the story that does not serve you. One of the main stories that drives the American populace is difficult and hard. For many people, life is difficult and life is hard. So hard, in fact, that they become hardaholics. They continue to perpetuate a set of feelings based on past unresolved issues and events that keep them doing the same thing over and over. If you're a noble struggler, isn't it time you consider letting go of this? If you went to grade school and you were told that you had reading challenges, you were not a good reader, you had ADD, you had OCD, many people continue to hold on to that, and then they walk around this planet telling people that it's very difficult for me because. Well, how about you might have gotten misdiagnosed? If you're on this call, you're brilliant. If you listen to this content, you're brilliant. You wouldn't be here if you weren't brilliant. You may have been conditioned to be average, but when you know you're brilliant, you can change your story. Many of you got your identity robbed by events, molestations, traumas, got picked on in the playground, you got singled out, you got violated, six girls set you up and picked on you, they singled you out, they targeted your locker, they did malicious, mean, inhumane things to you, and you suffered the brunt of that humiliation. So humiliation becomes a way of life. This always happens to me. Perpetrators, violators showing up, people who pick on you. I don't understand why I always attract these people. I don't know why people are so mean to me. Well, you do know because you're the one who lived through it. It's time that you are able to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, and you let go. as you begin to let go, means separate your feelings from events, it changes the mind-body connection to the story that you hold on to. When you have a story that you hold on to that disempowers you, that fulfills your disappointment. That's the payoff. So addicts don't like to hear the word payoff. What's your payoff? There is no payoff. Payoff? Playoffs? That was Jim Mora back in the day. Playoffs? We haven't won a game. That's the Cleveland Browns. They're not going to the playoffs. They're 0-15. That's a downtrodden franchise. That's Loserville. Even though the Browns have great fans and a great fan base, they just can't seem to get it right ever since they came back into the league since 1999. They've had a series of losses and disappointments. However, one person can walk in there and turn that whole situation around. Perfect case in point, Jimmy Garoppolo, the backup quarterback for the New England Patriots, who was drafted in the second round behind the great Tom Brady. He toils laboriously in the midnight hour waiting for his chance. The 49ers make a blockbuster trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, a man filled with potential. He's only started a few games in his NFL career. He sits on the bench for several games this season, learning the plays. When his number's called, he's ready. He comes in and throws a touchdown pass on the second pass of this season. They lose the game, but they go on to win four consecutive back-to-back wins. They beat the number one defense in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they hand them their ass. It was amazing to watch that, how one man or how one woman can change the face of a business, the face of a franchise, the face of your team. You want to be that one person. There is no magic. The magic is when you begin to show up in a body you're relaxed in. The magic is when you begin to let go of the anxieties, but most importantly, the stories you tell yourself. What stories have you told yourself that continue to keep you doing what you're doing? See, you may see the glory, but you don't know the story of what someone went through. And when I wrote my post today about my anniversary of December 26, 1996, that was only part of the story. The whole story was when I got clean and sober, I re-entered my network marketing and direct sales career. In 1990, I joined a great company called Herbalife. I wasn't prepared to succeed in that business. I got up to $8,000 a month, and when my upline got into conflict with Larry Thompson and with a guy named Mark Hughes, the owner of Herbalife, Larry was one of the top income earners. And when one of my uplines got into conflict, I followed my upline to another company. I could have easily stayed in that company and succeeded, but I was in the wrong place at the right time. I mean, I was the wrong person. I was the right person in the wrong situation. I knew, but I followed the wrong advice, and then that led to a string of events of back-to-back failures. If I should have, could have, would have, if I could do it all over, well, you can't. You don't get do-overs, you get now. And the more you live in the present, you're here and you're now, then you can change your story. Now, you can't change the events because the events really happened. Here's another part of your story that hinders a lot of you. I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. And because a lot of you don't know, don't understand, you do the same thing over and over because you can't separate what you don't understand. You can't let go of what you don't know. When you continue to do the same thing over and over, telling yourself the same story, I had a great childhood, and you keep telling that story over and over, not really understanding why you do what you do, don't really understand what happened. All you know is your childhood's a whole blur. Now, you don't have to spend a lot of time on it when you want to know the basics of why you do what you do. If you don't understand why you do what you do, you'll become neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings, perpetuating the same attractor factor over and over, so you can attract the same people and situations to fulfill the same feeling, to fulfill the destiny of your story. As you begin to understand your story, let go of your story, change your story, you can write a new story. The happy ending, you can write that. So many of you are at chapter 7 in your autobiography. You're at the middle of your life. You look back over the landscape in your life and you go, wow, it's littered with bodies and failures and disappointments and situations that I'd like to do over. Well, you don't get to do them over, you get to do it right here, right now. Now, your story has probably served you to be able to avoid failing, to be able to avoid succeeding. It hasn't really served you, but served you to avoid an outcome that you have anxiety about. Now, that's how your story serves you. I mean, it doesn't really serve you, but it serves you to avoid failing, to avoid succeeding, to avoid what you feel you can't control. When you try to control, you end up out of control of the control you control. As you begin to let go of control and understand that control is an illusion and there is no pressure, you can begin to change your story. Now, one of the biggest stories that hinders people is they're overwhelmed and they're unorganized. A large percent of the population is overwhelmed and unorganized. And I believe this is one of the most challenging stories to let go of, because when you're unorganized, it's physical. Not only is it emotional, but it's physical. It's all around you. When you're unorganized, it's in your cabinets, it's in your closets, it's in your drawers, it's in your car, it's in your brain, it's the way you think, it's the way you operate, the way you write. It means you're so overwhelmed that you can't focus. And even when you say hocus pocus, you're in focus, you're too overwhelmed to finish the sentence because of how overwhelmed you are being overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, you're going to have challenges mastering the moving parts of success. So when you continue to edify your story, this always happens to me. I don't know how. I don't know. How do I? That's how many people edify their story. They play dumb. They play the possum. I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. I don't remember. I don't recall. My whole childhood's a blur. Then when I go, where'd you go to third grade? Where'd you go to elementary in third grade? Who's your third grade teacher? Name one person in your third grade. Now I've just dispelled the myth. I've broken down their story. So they do know. You do know. And if you don't know, who does know? You know. You know because you know. But a lot of what you say you don't know, you don't want to know because you don't want to face the facts. When you have courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, realizing there's always a market for it, you can learn to relax in your body. You don't perform your best when the back's against the wall. That's a story. That's ridiculous. No athlete performs their best when their back's against the wall. Athletes perform their best in a relaxed body. Athletes perform their best in repetition and experience. Athletes perform their best sometimes when the chips are down, when it counts the most. But a trained, skilled professional will perform his best whether his back's against the wall or it's the first play of the game, because that's the repetition and experience required to be and stay a professional. Race car drivers, downhill skiers, actresses, entertainers, authors. See, and a skilled author does not experience writer's block. So what happens many times is people experience a little bit of success and they doubt if they can keep it. They doubt if they can attain it. They doubt if they can repeat it. They doubt if they can pull it off. They doubt if they can hold on to it. That's what happens to one-hit wonders. They're geniuses. They're brilliant, but they doubt the outcome. Now, if that is you tonight, that is unequivocally a must you must let go of. If you're unorganized, do something about it. Stop talking about how unorganized you are. Stop talking about how difficult it is. Stop talking about how hard it is, and start one cabinet at a time, one refrigerator at a time, one bookshelf at a time, one room at a time. Isolate one room and get organized in that one room. Don't get, stay. Being organized is a skill. It's a habit. It's a mindset. It's just like recovery. You do it one day at a time. You do the same thing over and over through simple discipline. You attend one meeting, not five, not six, because you won't be able to maintain five or six. That's what many people do. They go balls to the wall. They're black and white. They're all or nothing. You can't do that. You cannot be all or nothing and master the moving parts. It just doesn't work that way. You have to relax into your body. I'm about to partake in a big construction project. I'm going to put an addition onto my garage, onto my museum. Now, I looked at that museum, and I was able to assess that. It's about a $100,000 project. It's going to take a set of plans, blueprints, an engineer, a great concrete contractor, which I have in my circle of influence, one of the best in the state of California. He was out assessing my project today. Just in listening to him, because he's an expert in that field, he's going to save me about $25,000 in something that I was going to make difficult. He's going to make it easy. He's the expert. I'm going to listen to it. I don't want to be right anymore. That used to be my story. I would rather be right than rich. That was my story. No, I'd rather be rich and let someone else be correct. And I'm definitely going to let him be correct because he's the best at his trade. I can see the outcome before I get there. That's a big part of most people's story. They don't have the vision of the outcome. You have to be able to conceptualize an outcome before it happens. How do I do that? That's what many people say. That's a freaking head shaker when you ask a dumb question like that. Unfortunately, many people do that. They say, I know you hate this question. I don't hate it. What I don't like is to watch people continue to exhaust themselves over and over. I'm not exhaustible. I don't get exhausted listening to people. I'm skilled at listening to people, but I hear how people exhaust themselves in their story. You don't understand. My story is difficult. You don't understand. My story is challenging. You don't understand. My story is unique. I do understand. I understand you're overwhelmed, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you a hardaholic. When you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect, you can separate your feelings from the events that shape them. That is how you begin to change your story. You let go of stories that do not serve you. Evaluate this. What story do you hold on to? Guilt is a major emotion that drives a lot of people's story. As you begin to let go of the lowest level of transmutational energy, the lowest level of the way you send a signal, guilt, as you begin to let go of the waves that you send in an unconscious and a conscious situation, as you begin to let go of your telepathic message of the stories that do not serve you, the main story that doesn't serve you is you're not good enough. It's the number one story that leads people to regret. When you tiptoe quietly through life, you're going to end up paying the greatest pain, the pain of regret. And at some point, you've got to overcome your story. I coached a woman today who was in her 50s. I was very proud of her. I can see she's letting go of her story. I always have to do this. I have to defend people. I have to do this. I coach several people on their story today to let go of their story. If you're in chronic pain, who's giving you the pain in your neck, the pain in your back? Address that. The more you understand the cause that creates the effect, I assisted someone with a chronic back situation, and her relapse in her back was a direct reflection of someone who showed up in her life. As you're able to neutralize the cause that creates the effect, then you're not the mind-body connection to the dis-ease or the pain that's in your body. But when you stay in pain, that becomes your pain body. When your pain is chronic, what it really means is you chronically hold on to someone because that's your story. As you begin to let go of your story, your chronic pain, your dis-ease, your anxiety begins to drop away because you don't give power and energy to the effects that created your cause. When you address the cause, the effects seem to dissipate. And as the effects seem to dissipate, it creates a new space in your conscious, unconscious awareness to attract the people that you require to build a business, a team, a culture, a town, a community, a church with. As you begin to start to feel that kind of energy, as you start to let go of your anxieties about situations that haven't happened, as you begin to step into your power, as you are power, as you harness your power, as you let go of the force and the counter forces that keep you overwhelmed, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings, change your story. Yeah, but Jeff, you don't understand. My situation's unique. I have kids that have a lot that. I have children who are very demanding. What are you spending time with them for? Why do you spend so much time with the wrong people? I ask people this question. Why do you subject yourself? Well, you don't understand. These are my relatives. These are my family. I do understand. If anyone understands, it is me. Why do you let guilt drive your emotions? When guilt drives your inactions or your actions, that's your story. When you're guilty all the time, when you over-obligate, do too much for others, operate in codependency or enable, that's your story. And if you have challenges with boundaries, saying no, I can't, then you have to change the story, because then you'll attract to your reality consistently people in situations to fulfill that story. See, there's a breakthrough process of your story. That breakthrough process comes with recognition. You begin to recognize why you do what you do. In metacognition, you become an objective observer. You start to understand why you do what you do, and you can objectively understand that. When you start to live in rigorous honesty, meaning you get comfortable with you, you can tell the truth, you don't lie about it. When you're living a lie, you can't possibly tell the truth. You can't be genuine, authentic, until you let go of your lie. As a chronic pathological liar, this was a huge challenge for me when I got clean and sober. I just start to remember some of the lies I told. Who did I tell that to? It's exhausting to be a liar. As you begin to become rigorous, honest, ask for forgiveness as you let go, as you get honest with yourself, have a better understanding of why you do what you do, then you can be in your story objective. That's what honesty is. See, you can be honest without criticizing yourself. When you make a mistake, you can own that mistake without apologizing and making up a story. When you can apologize from integrity without having to make an excuse, then you're not telling a story. What many people do is they'll ask for forgiveness or apologize, but while they're apologizing, they're justifying. When you justify, validate, and explain, when you're an addicted validator, justifier, and explainer, that's the story you're holding on to. When you grow up with passive-aggressive parents, grandparents, people in your circle of influence, when you've been traumatized by a brother or sister because you're born and now you're going to get some of what they're already not getting, when you have someone who picks on you incessantly, when you're traumatized in the playground, this unequivocally, neurochemically affects the way you operate in your emotional body. When your body starts running your brain based on the events that you haven't resolved, when you stay in a set of repressed emotions, not understanding why you do what you do, this becomes your story. Well, you don't understand. I have a reading disability. I have OCD. I'm a slow learner. I got put back in class. And so when people call you a retard, a dummy, stupid, and they do it over and over and over, your body starts to react to the stimulus. When you wake up in the morning and you hear your mother downstairs rattling the cabinets, looking for the cooking sherry or looking for the cooking wine or looking for the cooking champagne, or she's in the medicine cabinet looking for the mouthwash, the Listerine, or any multitude of situations to fulfill that neurochemical high that they're addicted to, your body starts to react to that stimulus. You become an adult child of an addict. You become codependent. You lose your innocence. This becomes your story. Then you're going to attract perpetrators and people like this to fulfill your feelings. We tend to marry our violators and perpetrators. I'm going to be writing a new book, When Love is a Violation, in 2018 or 19, that will break down why we do what we do and how we stay in a circle of influence of people who violate us to fulfill our feelings. That becomes our story. Many people associate with people because they're family, they're friends, they're from the hood, they grew up in the barrio, they grew up on that side of the track, they grew up in South Philly, they grew up with them in this area, they grew up in that period. They're from South Detroit, they're from here, they're there, they're from Wyandotte County. I mean, we hold on to people from our past because it's familiar. It becomes a big part of our story. You don't understand. I can't let go of these people because they're family. I do understand, because what many people do is they hold on to the same set of feelings that drives their emotions, that drives their inaction, so they can qualify, justify, and explain being average. If being average is your story, then you're going to believe you're relegated to it. When being average is no longer a way of life, then you can become exceptional. It's not a how do I, it's a committed state one day at a time. Once again, I lived it. I teach it. I breathe it. I overcame it. If I overcame it, you can overcome it. I overcame 14 years of drug and alcohol addiction. I overcame being a producer, but an underachiever. I mean, I would produce, but I wouldn't get rewarded for my production. That became part of my story. This always happens to me. And when I let go of being a victim, I can start to become being a victor. But when I'm holding on to this always happens to me syndrome, that's a woe is me situation. It's a very low vibrational energy that's going to attract to my reality people beneath my energy so I can be and stay disappointed. When you're able to relate to other people's stories but not be in the story, well, you can relate to someone, but you don't want to get intoxicated by someone. When emotional and spiritual vampires show up and they want to seduce you into their story, and then you end up getting exhausted because you don't have a healthy boundary, well, you have to learn to understand what that means, letting people go. Letting people go is a skill. You don't let people go because you don't care about them. You care enough about yourself not to subject yourself to that kind of energy. You can empathize with people, you can sympathize with people, but you want to let people seduce you into their story that sucks the life out of you. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, you're going to be able to easily and effortlessly be able to spot and understand people who use stories to seduce you or anyone. When you listen to the woe is me story, You want to be able to listen with empathy, but you don't want to give so much sympathy to someone that you get seduced by it. Now, fanfare for the common man, you're absolutely there to assist and empower people. But when you continue to rescue people, enable them, over-obligate yourself, then you're buying into their story, and that becomes your story that no one produces. Why can't I find anyone who produces? You could, but you have to change the way you communicate with yourself. When you say, I'm in process, I'm in recovery, I'm letting go, this changes the energy and changes your story. As you change the way you feel about self, it's going to change your brain chemistry. You're going to create a new set of neurons that wire and fire, not on familiar feelings, but on new feelings that you're creating. When you are creating a new identity, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. When you say you're not good at school, that may be possible when you're a slow learner, a reading disability. All these situations, the educational, the medical, the pharmaceutical lobby, and the food industry continue to seduce you into, to rob you of your spirit, to rob you of the energy that's in your gut, to keep you in the neocortex of your left brain, to take away all your probiotics that's in your gut, so you'll have leaky gut syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, you'll have SIBO, you'll have H. pylori, you'll have all the situations that happen in your gut and your stomach. When you're overwhelmed, it's going to affect your cervical spine, your thoracic spine, and your lumbar. When you have tailbone issues, low back issues in your lower lumbar, you're going to set on old pain. When you have C1 and C2 that consistently subluxate on the non-dominant side of your upper cervical, it's because you're trying to control the control that has you out of control. When your low back consistently goes out, it's because that's your money bone. When you have people that you hold on to, it's going to show up in your neck and back. It's going to give you a neck ache. There's a pain in your neck and a pain in your back. As you begin to let go of how you hold on to people and the story you hold on to, you'll begin to change your whole life. Your energy changes. Who shows up changes. What shows up changes. You become a person of influence and affluence. You become a mentor to people, a leader to people. You become influential, affluential. People seek you out for advice because of the process that you've been in, the transformation that you've been through, the recovery that you're in, and the person you become. As you start to become that mind-body connection, as you start to wire your brain in a very relaxed body, as you become more creative and innovative, as you start to understand, as you implement, as you start to integrate a new set of feelings, as you start to integrate new content, as you're able to deliver on command, your whole brain and body begin to become one with, which connects you to the Akashic Records, the quantum field, and the morphogenic energy. That's the kind of white light energy that you attract your reality, content that's delivered to that you can disseminate. It means it's you ask and you shall receive. And so that means when you're in that space, there's no separation between you and brilliance. When you live in that type of energy, you have a whole new story. That's an I am story. I am capable. I am lovable. I am brilliant. I am the leader that people are looking for. You can say this not from arrogance. You say this from self-esteem. You don't say it from confidence. You say it from self-esteem because you are enough. And it's in that enough state that you begin to deserve, you begin to receive, and then you can teach these skills to others. Not only can you teach it, but you can attract it. You can attract your reality to people and situations that will foster your purpose. When you become purpose-driven, the purpose of my call, the reason I'm reaching out to you, when you can state your purpose, when you can state the reason you're reaching out, then you'll stop saying, how do I approach people? You want to get out of the analytical, egoic mind, the low energy vibration, the low intellect, the low EQ. You can have high IQ, be very intelligent, but have no street sense. And I'd much rather have average intelligence and exceptional street sense than high intelligence and low street sense. You require street sense so you understand, you comprehend, you integrate, you implement, you K-N-O-W, you frickin' have it, dude. You understand, you get it. You're there. Bring it on, chief. Here I am again. I mean, when you come from that place, then success becomes in your fiber. But most importantly, peace coupled with success creates an identity that becomes unstoppable. When you have that peace and you start to live success, and you start to emanate that relaxed intensity. When you come from the hands-free zone, when you're not trying to control the outcome because you are the outcome, when you know the outcome, then that is destiny, baby. That is manifest destiny. That is yours. You own it. You are it. I am it. You're being it. When you come from that place, you'll sweat from the low part of your back. When you release the past, there's a stench that comes out of your body, that violation energy. When you sweat at the temples, that means you're releasing. And that kind of release creates a power that cannot be harnessed. It is a power that power is you. You don't try and hold on to that power. You are that power. You don't try and keep it. You are it. When you try and keep success, you're trying to hold on to a ghost. You're trying to hold on to a sheet that dissipates. It's like trying to hold on to sand that's in your hand. Well, that sand eventually is going to slip through your hand as you begin to, and you don't try and control that sand. You let that sand go because you know there's so much more sand that you can put in your hand. When you try and grab it like lightning in a bottle and you try and capture it and put a lid on it, that means you're trying to hold on to what you can't hold on to. When you let go of the mind-body connections that shaped your feelings, when you let go of events that shape your feelings, when you no longer give power to perpetrators and violators and people that robbed you of your innocence, as you begin to let go of those situations, as you get honest about the childhood you grew up in, as you get honest with the things you did that hindered you, as you start to become the mind-body connection to integrity, as you start to become genuine and authentic, words that you talk about but don't really feel. When you begin to feel that, then there's no more lying. When there's no more lying, that means you are the truth. When you don't tell lies, like lies that you're not good enough, when you don't have to cheat, when you don't have to have an edge, because you don't require an edge, you require you to be you. And if you think I'm speaking to you on tonight's call, you frickin' believe that's who I'm speaking to, because I was you once. I was a serial cheater, a pathological liar, a drug addict, an alcoholic, a sex addict, not anyone of influence or affluence. I mean, I could fool part of the people part of the time, but I couldn't fool all the people all the time. I had a very thin veil that I wore, and people could see right through it. So I'd be intimidated by people who had spirituality. I was intimidated by people who had recovery. I would say bad things about people who went to AA. Oh, those losers can't hold their liquor. I remember getting court ordered to go to AA, and all I wanted to do was have a drink. I'd run right down the street to the first place to take that edge off because I was uncomfortable because I was amongst greatness. I couldn't handle greatness. I was the lowest of anxiety you could possibly be, a pathological liar. Living in guilt and shame. People, how did you overcome it? I did it one day at a time. I did it by committing. I did it by saying, I am. I am not going to live like this anymore. And so that's why I have significant dates in my story. December 17th, 1987, that was the day of my recovery. December 26th, 1997, that's the day I broke through as a business owner. That was a very significant day in my journey. And then 6 years ago, I started to really understand what codependence means. That was the next level of my recovery, to really embrace the fact that I didn't know what codependence meant as I continued to attract personal relationships that would do too much, over-obligate myself, and then blame others for my feelings. Once again, as you can become rigorously honest, as you can let go of being critical of self, you can step into the new year and be that person you know you're capable of being. When you can sweat from your temples because you have so much passion that it exudes, when you can feel that energy, when your hands can heal, when you know you can put your hands on someone and you can have an impact on them through Reiki or spirituality or through the energy of God or Christ or whatever it is you want to call it, deity, source, infinite intelligence, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to anger, guilt, shame, grief, apathy, anger, hate, resentment, rejection, abandonment. As you begin to let go of guilt, shame, and the violations that you hold on to, you are changing your story. When you're no longer worried about getting in trouble, that you try and control an outcome because you don't know if you can control the outcome, when you let go of control and understand there is no control, when you let go of anxiety, and you don't have to be the mind-body connection to any of the events that shape those anxieties. When you can be power, step into your power, transmute the power, that power is not linear. It's not physical. It's emotional. When you bring that kind of juice, your story changes. As you start to understand your story, you can create a new story. When you start to mentor and lead others, you can let go of the mind-body connections that you're not good enough. When you can tell your story effectively and tell it from integrity and not worry about what others are going to think of you, then you are unequivocally freeing yourself of what you repress. When you can state the truth, tell the truth, be the truth, then you don't have anything to worry about people finding out about you. It's so liberating to be able to tell the facts. When you can tell the facts in an emotionally stable body without having to break down and feel like a victim or worry that someone's going to find out about you, when you're not concerned with what people think of you, now even though it's not a black and white situation, we're all going to have some concerns about what people think about us. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's conditioned behavior. As you can address the events that create conditioned behavior, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape those feelings. As you're able to effectively and effortlessly let go, letting go is a skill. Letting go is a complete art. As you start to practice the art of letting go, you'll be amazed at what you're capable of creating. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape feelings, then you are unequivocally changing your destiny. You're changing the future. You can't change your history. You change how you perceive your history, and you move on and let go. You can't change the events, but you can definitely change your perception of the events. As you can really understand why you do what you do, then you are effectively changing your possibility, your probability, your definite of purpose. When you become purpose-driven and you understand that purpose, your purpose will drive you. Your purpose will inspire you. When you get clear on why you want to own a business, why you want to change, why you want to recover, why you want to let go of addiction, and you can actually articulate that, so your ability to articulate your feelings into words are going to be a major part of your story, because your story hasn't been finished. As you can see your outcome before it happens, you can rewrite your story. You're not destined to die broke. You're destined to pass in this earth plane in greatness. You weren't put here to be average. You may have accepted that story of someone else. Many people want to talk you into being average. They want to hold you back. They're worried about you. They're worried you're one of those things. They're worried you're in a pyramid. They're worried you're in real estate. They're worried you're in a commission sales business. They're worried that you don't have insurance. I mean, what the fuck, dude? I mean, when you start to understand that you don't have to worry about other people's worry, it's liberating. When you stop worrying about other people, it's quite liberating to be able to be yourself. See, that's a story you deserve to live in. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. 2017 is not quite in the books for me. There's a few days left. I have the privilege on the next to last day of 2017 being able to do what I love, and that is be able to show up in a city of my choice, be able to collaborate with first-class entrepreneurs and souls having human experiences. I absolutely have the opportunity to spend all day with people that I love to be around. I mean, you could do the same situation. That is my story. I invented my own business over 20 years ago. You can do the same situation. I started this journey as a teenager. I had promised myself I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. It took me 10 extra years. It took me by 40. You're right where you're supposed to be. Don't doubt that. Accept that. That's a fact. Stop telling yourself you should be somewhere else when you're right here, right now. Let go of your anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened, and absolutely let 2018 be the year that you've always dreamed of. 1997 was that year for me, that breakthrough year for me. I bought my first piece of property in 1998. I was able to buy the car of my dreams. I started traveling in my terms. And then I walked away from a business that I knew wasn't my destiny. I was able to start my own business from scratch, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. And I completely changed my story. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on tonight's call. I want to let you know from the center of my heart how honored I am to be your coach, your friend, your collaborator, someone that we can create a great story with in 2018. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year. I'll see you in 2018 on the first Tuesday, January 2nd. Good night. Happy New Year, and I'll see some of you this Saturday. Have a great rest of this year. Bye.